Welcome to the Microsoft Industry Experiences Team Podcast. I'm your host, David Starr, and in this series, you will hear from leaders across various industries discussing the impact of digital disruption and innovation, sharing how they've used Azure to transform their business. You can find our team online at aka.ms/INDXP or on Twitter at IndustryXP. David Holden is the Principal Healthcare Program Manager on the Microsoft Industry Experiences team. He has extensive experience in healthcare and applicable technologies, most lately the cloud, blockchain, and AI. Welcome to the show, David.
Thanks, David. It's great to be here.
You know, we're here to talk about reducing healthcare costs with digital transformations in healthcare, specifically around security compliance and backup using Azure. So what are some of the key challenges that healthcare is facing right now?
Yeah, reducing healthcare costs is really a major one, and you hit it. And, you know, healthcare is nearly 20% of GDP in the U.S., so phenomenally high cost. And, you know, it's increasingly expensive worldwide. So we have this huge problem of the non-availability of healthcare to many people. So I think, you know, one of the things we need to be doing is driving the availability of healthcare as much as possible to really democratize healthcare and to do that by reducing costs. And, you know, IT cost is a significant portion of the overall cost of business of healthcare. So whatever we can do to reduce the costs of information technology is something that we should be focusing on. And moving to cloud computing is one way of reducing a lot of cost in IT, capital expenditures, all the resources required to maintain, refresh, you know, low-level infrastructure on-premise. Why not put that in the cloud and refocus IT resources on more of the business innovation?
Many health organizations can be reluctant to move to the cloud still. So what are some of their primary concerns?
You know, healthcare is facing incredible change on an unprecedented level, right? And so healthcare is trying to move to value-based care, you know, pay for performance. We've got the drive to improve patient outcomes. We've got, you know, increasing patient engagement and improving their experiences through patient portals and other techniques. We've got, you know, the need to improve the experience of healthcare professionals even. Reducing burnout and so forth. So one of the other things with cloud computing is it really enables healthcare to not only reduce costs, but also you know, by focusing resources on business innovation rather than low-level on-premise infrastructure, it paves the way for new sort of levels of innovation and ability to adapt to new technologies, including artificial intelligence, machine learning. You know, we've got Internet of Medical Things, we've got augmented reality, mixed reality, virtual reality, 5G, and so forth. So there's all these phenomenally exciting technologies that can help healthcare, you know, improve outcomes and engagement and all those good things. And cloud really helps provide the agility for healthcare to do that adaptation and evolution.
You know, normally when we talk about AI in healthcare, we talk about imaging and or diagnostic imaging and all sorts of other really exotic uses of AI. This is simply using AI and machine learning capabilities to make my organization run more efficiently, and regardless of the fact that I'm a hospital or what have you. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. So there's the technologies and then the data, and you had some of the key ones, diagnostic imaging, genomic, et cetera, and Internet of Medical Things is another one. But it's really about how do we use the technologies and how do we use the data to help healthcare meet the business needs and the business goals. And those are much more around what we call a quadruple aims, which is improving the outcomes of patients, improving the engagement and experience of patients, again, improving the experience of healthcare professionals, and of course, reducing healthcare costs. So, you know, how can we use that data and those technologies and cloud computing to enable and empower healthcare to achieve those business goals?
When a healthcare organization does decide to move to the cloud, what sorts of things might they have struggles or might they have challenges with?
Yeah, there's a really interesting study that Frost and Sullivan put out, the Healthcare Cloud Computing Outlook, which was globally focused, looking at, you know, 2016 through 2021. And And they looked at the top three criteria for cloud vendor selection. You know, the top three were security. 41% of respondents indicated that as the that was the top concern overall. You know, which is really interesting because maybe 5 years ago, you know, a lot of healthcare was skeptical about cloud, looking at cloud as more risky. But today, you know, a lot of healthcare views cloud as more secure than having on-premise, right? The reality is healthcare doesn't necessarily have this, the deep security expertise to adequately secure on-premise infrastructure. And so moving to cloud might be actually a much more secure option for many healthcare organizations. But nevertheless, security remains the top criteria for cloud vendor selection. Reliability is second up at 39%. And this is about, you know, as healthcare is moving mission critical services, you know, solutions and systems and data to the cloud, are they going to be available, you know, 24/7/365? And also even during the migration, right? If I migrate data or solutions to the cloud, are they going to be available to me during that migration, or am I going to have days of unavailability?
And right, so, kind of got to change the tire while the car's moving.
Yeah, or operate on the patient. You got to keep them alive, like, you know. So that's those are great metaphors, but you know, reliability is paramount. You know, a lot of people equate security to just protecting confidentiality and preventing breaches, and that's a hugely important thing. But if there's anything that ransomware has taught us, protecting availability and ensuring reliable and, you know, access to data and systems is as important, if not more important. You know, if healthcare is cut off from access to data or systems, it can be immediately disruptive, especially to healthcare providers, where any disruption like that could degrade service for sure, but potentially even increase patient risk.
When an organization does decide to move into the cloud, what are some of the first things they're going to look at doing? We have a lot of different ways to get started in Azure. Maybe I'm moving data, maybe I'm just moving virtual machines. What do you find is the first step for most healthcare orgs?
Yeah, one of the first things to consider in moving to the cloud is, you know, how to get effective security and compliance. And one of the really important things to take away from this is, you know, if there's a few key points, this is one of them. Security and compliance are a shared responsibility. It's not something you buy from a cloud, you know, provider. The division of responsibilities really depends on how healthcare is going to use the cloud. If healthcare is using the cloud for infrastructure as a service, then, you know, they're responsible for certain things. Like, you know, the healthcare organization would still be responsible for data classification and accountability and client and endpoint protection, identity and access management, application level controls. But then the cloud provider would help with network controls and host infrastructure. And of course, physical security. But, you know, as healthcare moves towards software as a service, more and more of those responsibilities fall on the cloud provider. So what's really important is it's not like healthcare goes out and purchases cloud and, you know, they're done with security or compliance, right? To get effective security and compliance, you have to have this holistic picture of your security and compliance requirements. What are you getting from the cloud provider and what are you responsible for? And it's really a partnership with your cloud provider to ensure that all of those requirements are met, nothing falls through. And that's why Microsoft has really focused on not only providing highly secure platforms and tools, but also a partnership with healthcare organizations to ensure that effective security and compliance. Now, David, back to your question, you know, in terms of how does healthcare move to the cloud? You know, I think of it as a three-step. There's really the enablement. You know, does the healthcare organization have the yes decision internally to move to the cloud? If they're not using cloud already, if they are using cloud already, do they have a yes decision internally to expand their use of cloud? And oftentimes, if they do not have a yes decision internally, it's because of residual concerns, many of which center around security and reliability. So getting to that yes decision can be is a critical step. Yes, we can move to the cloud, we can start using cloud, or we can expand use of cloud. The second sort of step in healthcare moving to the cloud is really landing in the cloud. you know, initially, a lot of healthcare organizations will use the cloud for pretty basic use cases like data management, storage and archiving, backup and restore, business continuity, disaster recovery, just management, you know, secure and reliable management of data in the cloud. Another sort of initial use case in the cloud is software as a service. And this is healthcare moving their sort of block and tackle enterprise systems to the cloud. Could be an electronic health record system or electronic medical record system. It could be a payer system to manage, you know, claims and membership and eligibility and do adjudication, all that good stuff. Any kind of basic records management system hosted in the cloud and provided as software as a service to healthcare is going to free healthcare up from maintaining that low-level infrastructure and enable them to focus more on business innovation. The third step in the sort of journey to cloud is really, you know, once you've got the yes decision, you're doing the data management, you're doing the software as a service, really growing the use of cloud around, you know, strategic new technologies like analytics, AI, machine learning, Internet of Medical things, powering those with new data. We've got augmented reality and all those exciting things, and cloud is poised to really enable those. But that's how I think of, you know, healthcare moving to the cloud. Now, of course, again, security and reliability are key to the enablement and getting the yes decision.
And you sort of start there, right? In your design.
Absolutely. And then beyond that, maintaining the security and compliance on an ongoing basis is essential, right? To enable healthcare to meet the business goals while mitigating risk of things like ransomware, denial of service attacks, breaches, et cetera. So security and compliance are not a one and done sort of point in time, check the box, move on type of thing. It's an ongoing thing, right? You got to make sure you have effective security all the time on an ongoing basis. Otherwise, you're at risk of these other kinds of adverse security incidents.
So with that in mind, what does Azure specifically do for the concerns of security, privacy, reliance, these sorts of things?
Yeah, so security, any security professional will break down security into what we call CIA, confidentiality, integrity, and availability. And on the confidentiality side, we're really talking about ensuring only authorized access to sensitive healthcare data. And that's done with access controls like role-based access control in Azure, multi-factor authentication, you know, encryption of data in Azure at rest and in transit, you know, key management with the Azure Key Vault and so forth. Now, on the integrity side, you know, ensuring data is accurate, complete, and up to date, you know, audit logging, who did what, when, why, et cetera. You know, hash codes and digital signatures to enable the authenticity to be verified and, you know, easy detection of tampering. That's all to protect the integrity of systems and data. And then on the availability side, you know, ensuring timely and reliable access to systems and data. You know, we've got Azure Backup and Restore, which can work on virtual machines. We've got, you know, Azure Site Recovery service for business continuity and disaster recovery. And you have, you know, you can have redundancy across availability zones. You can have load balancing, automated failover. You know, Azure has a huge worldwide footprint. We've got 54 regions serving, I think, 140 countries at present. But also, you know, advanced protections like DDoS protection or distributed denial of service protection. There's Azure DDoS protection services. And so again, you know, CIA, protecting confidentiality, integrity, and availability, and that kind of breaks it down and gives you a sampling of Azure services, you know, things that are embedded in the platform and the tools available. But the other thing to think about in the availability area is reliability. And again, it's migrating to the cloud without disruption. You know, there are a lot of Microsoft partners out there that specialize in helping healthcare identify suitable solutions to move to cloud and helping them migrate those solutions to cloud in a seamless way that they don't have any disruption in availability. And then, you know, reliability is also, of course, maintaining business continuity on an ongoing basis. Again, incredibly important, especially for systems that used by healthcare providers, where if there's any disruption to those systems, it could degrade healthcare or even be a patient safety risk. You know, if a patient goes to, you know, a doctor, you know, a hospital and their records are unavailable, that's a major issue, not just an inconvenience. It could be a patient safety issue. So you know, this ongoing threat detection, because new threats are emerging all the time, new vulnerabilities. We've got intelligent security graph at Microsoft, which is really an advanced analytics service that links massive amounts of threat intelligence and security data to provide, you know, unparalleled threat detection and protection. We've got the Azure Security Center, you know, a unified view of security, both on-premise and in the cloud. You could have Azure Stack on-premise, and you could be using the Azure Cloud. And that's going to really provide 24/7 security monitoring to protect your application and assets and data. And so the Azure Security Center enables the sort of management of alerts and vulnerabilities. It's a single sort of dashboard. There's integration with SIEM tools, security information and event management. So you can integrate with SIEM tools, again, for a single dashboard. Now for compliance, you know, the key questions are really what kinds of data you're dealing with, what kinds of sensitive data, right? And PII or personally identifiable information is really key. What kinds of data are you dealing with that can locate, be used to contact or be used to identify a patient? That's PII. And then any healthcare data associated with a PII is often called PHI or protected healthcare information. And when you're dealing with PII or PHI, you know, that's going to detect or determine to some extent what, you know, laws and regulations apply. If you're in the U.S., you're dealing with healthcare data, PHI, you're going to be concerned about HIPAA. If you're using European citizen data, you may be impacted by GDPR. So there's the type of data you're dealing with. There's also, where is the data located? So you need to think about not just the cloud as some sort of abstract term, but, you know, where are the actual data centers that you're using physically located? Because that can determine, in some cases, the jurisdictions. You know, what regulations and data protection laws apply will depend on where you're putting that data. So Azure has, you know, a huge set of compliance certifications. I believe the most certifications of any cloud platform. Those obviously include HIPAA, HITRUST, GDPR, ISO 27000 series. You've got PCI DSS and many, many more. Mm-hmm. David, that we might be able to provide a link in the podcast text because it's just such a huge array that people can look at.
We'll include a link to the industry certifications and compliance page. You can actually look up the certifications that Azure adheres to based on industry.
Yeah, good point. Absolutely. That's a great next step because a lot of folks will have particular ones in mind and they'll be interested, you know, does it support those? The way to think about these is not just, you know, if I get, you know, this or that cloud, will I get, you know, HIPAA? It's a shared responsibility model. So the HIPAA certification will show you that Azure provides platform and associated tools, and there's partnership from Microsoft to help you achieve HIPAA compliance. Ultimately, the healthcare organization, the covered entity or business associate is what's held to HIPAA compliance, not any particular tool or platform. And, you know, Microsoft tools and platforms are certified to enable healthcare organizations to achieve compliance. That's an important distinction. But, you know, there's the Azure Compliance Manager. This is a tool, a dashboard that can really map technology solutions to regulatory requirements, data protection laws, et cetera, security standards, and enable the management of action items and workflow to ensure remediation of any non-compliance items. So a healthcare organization using Azure can go into the compliance manager, indicate, okay, I need to comply with HIPAA, I need to comply with GDPR, and it'll show them, you know, how those relate to the Azure platform and tools. Any sort of remediation gaps or any non-compliance gaps, rather, will emerge from the dashboard. The compliance manager provides the sort of action item capability, the assignment capability, and the workflow capability to enable you to manage the remediation of any non-compliance items. That's super important because you don't want anything to fall through the cracks, especially when there's shared responsibility. And the other thing is, you know, just like security, compliance is not a one and done thing. It's an ongoing thing, right? And things are always changing. You might be expanding your use of cloud. There's new technologies emerging, et cetera. Regulations and data protection laws are changing over time. And so the compliance manager we'll track compliance on an ongoing basis to ensure that any new non-compliance items that emerge over time will be raised as alerts, and then you can kick off remediations to ensure, again, that you have full compliance over the long term.
That's a fantastic service built right into Azure. Shifting gears, how do customers get to partner solutions? Because Microsoft's rather unique, right? We don't build the solutions themselves necessarily, but we build the infrastructure, and then we have a set of partners that come in and build end solutions on top of that. So how do customers get to those partner solutions?
Yeah, great question. There's just so many partners out there that provide solutions and or services to help healthcare move to the cloud, including managing security and compliance and reliability and all those things. But one of the best places to go is the Azure Marketplace. If you visit the Azure Marketplace, you can see the current set of solutions and services available to help you move to the cloud, maximize your use of cloud. And, you know, that's changing over time. So visit back regularly. You know, the other opportunity out here is if you are an organization that helps healthcare organizations with solutions or services to move to the cloud, there may be opportunities for you to publish your services and or solutions in the Azure Marketplace. So we'd invite you to reach out to us. You can reach out to me on LinkedIn. David, I think we can include a link in the podcast post as well, so people know where to connect if they're interested.
Absolutely. Those links we'll include in the show notes. I'll also note that in the show notes, we will link directly to the use case that underlies the conversation we're having here on the show today.
Perfect.
I think we're about at the end of our time, David. I can't tell you how much I appreciate you being on the show today.
It's been great, David. Thanks very much for the opportunity.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Microsoft Industry Experiences Team podcast, the show that explores how industry experts are transforming businesses with Azure. Visit our team at aka.ms/indxp. And don't forget to join us for our next episode.